1 Samuel 14, there was a city called Mishmash. Don't you just love it, man? Mishmash. Where do you live? I live in Mishmash. Yeah, I mean, really. Where do you really live? And the Philistines were just clobbering Mishmash. It was a Jewish city, but the Philistines had overrun it, and they had taken away all the weapons. They would not allow the Israelites to have any blacksmiths because they didn't want any swords being made and stuff like that. And there were basically two swords left in Israel. Saul had one and Jonathan had the other one. And Saul was hiding like a good king should, you know, terrified.
I do. I'm so scared. Help.
Jonathan had the other one. But Jonathan had a buddy, he was his armor bearer. And what an armor bearer was, basically he followed the soldier around. You know, you couldn't really, you know, leap over a wall and run with the troop, you know, while you're carrying, you know, a shield and swords and spears and bows and arrows. And so you had a guy do that for you. And when you needed something, you know, he just kind of like your caddy, you know. You need a 5-iron, you know. Give me a 6-iron sword there. This guy looks a little big. I don't know, you know, did he hand it to you blade first or hand it? How did they do that? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. Well. So here's Israel, all oppressed by these Philistines, and their king is in hiding with one of the swords and with 50% of the swords, and Jonathan has the other 50%. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he didn't tell his father. Saul was sitting under the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other one was Senna. The front of one faced northward opposite Mishmash, and the other one southward towards Gibeah. Now you understand where they were, right? You can kind of picture that in your mind. Yeah. Been there. Got the t-shirt. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. It may be that the Lord will work for us." Did you hear that? "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Maybe God will work for us." Maybe. Where am I? Oh. "For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So the armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you, according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come up to you,' then we will stand in our place. I'm sorry, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have been hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half acre of land. So here you have this garrison of 20 armed, war-hardened Philistine soldiers. Here you got Jonathan and his armor bearer. And he says, let's go show ourselves to these soldiers. Maybe the Lord will work for us. If he doesn't, I guess we'll die. And here's the plan. Here's our military strategy. And you military men know that, you know, that this is brilliant military strategizing. We're going to go up and if they say, wait until we come down to you so that we're on level ground, that's a sign that, you know, hasta la vista, baby. But if they say, come up to us, that's a sign that God is with us. Now, who has the advantage in a military conflict, the high ground or the low ground? The high ground. So he says, if they say, come up to us, so that we have to crawl on hands and knees up to the side of the mountain, up to the high ground, we'll know that God has delivered them into our hands. In the natural, that's suicide. It's ridiculous. And thank you. That's right, Joe. Notwithstanding, there was 20-2 odds. And Jonathan didn't even have his weapon when he came over the lip of the edge. But he had something called boldness, something called courage. And he trusted in God. And when he gets up there, against all odds, when Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And then as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. So here's the guy, he's not even the soldier. But the two of them together just slay this entire garrison of Philistine soldiers with a sword. And I guess Jonathan's fists. Fists hurt. What was the result of that encounter? Verse 15, and there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so there was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away. And they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with them, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. I'll read fast. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here. For at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled. And they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor. And there was a very great confusion. And check this out in verse 21. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the... anybody? Philistines. Whoa. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden, everybody say hidden, hidden, in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. What happened was, you had Saul and his army. He's sitting under the pomegranate tree being, you know, a very inspiring leader. I think I'll just sit under this tree and hope they go away. You had Saul sitting under the tree. You had people who were so disgusted with the state of affairs that they had left Israel. These were Israelites. These were children of God's inheritance. Had left Israel and were among the Philistine soldiers. They were in the enemy's camp working for the enemy because they had lost hope. You had them with the enemy. You had these other Israelites who were hiding out in holes and caves. And when they heard and saw what the courage and the boldness that Jonathan and his armor bearer displayed, it roused them to war. And the guys who had gone over to the other side ran back to join Israel. And the people that were hiding in the holes came out of the holes and joined the battle and put to flight the armies of the enemies with boldness and courage. And it was inspired by two men who dared to see what God would do if they would step out and trust Him for the result. Do you realize that if you can get a victory over the trepidation that you have, if you can somehow tap that boldness, tap that courage, and step out in faith, and see God do exploits through your hands, that it will inspire other people to join in the battle. They'll come out of the holes to be with you. And those who had gotten discouraged and maybe they were wounded or maybe they were disheartened and had gone over to the other side and were living like they were not the inheritance of God, living like they were not God's people, living among those who did not know God, will then begin to, they will find the courage to come back and give it another try and join the battle, and the army of the Lord will be radiant in battle and God will prevail. And that power is our inheritance. That power is set out like a feast for us to lay a hold of, so that God can be magnified. And you don't even have to win anybody to Christ. Just tell them. You can't win them to Christ anyway. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. All you got to do is have the courage to tell them. And your courage will inspire other people to join the battle. And if you lay a hold of that, they'll come out of the holes and they'll come out of the camp of the enemy and they'll fight for the Lord. The Lord will fight for them, actually. But that's what's at stake. That's how we raise the army. That's how we take the land. That's how we take the kingdom. Praise God. I wish I could do that justice. I'm scratching the surface, and there's more. There's so much more there. But I just hope that something today spoke to somewhere in your heart. Said, man, God, use me. I know I'm shaking in my boots, but use me. I know I ain't nothing. I'm no seminary graduate. I don't even have a position in the church. But I know I love Jesus. I know I love what He did for me. And I want to see others get touched and saved and blessed and healed and delivered. Use me, God. Teach me. Give me boldness. Give me courage. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to find myself at the end of my life looking back, wishing I had done something, wishing I would have taken the boldness to see how glorious You can be, God. I want to see Your glory now. I want to see it today. Teach me. Show me. Use me. Take this hunk of clay and turn it into a vessel for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.